Today, extreme encounter. How many want to get closer to the Lord? You want to get closer to the Lord in your life? How would you love Him just to be able to just you could feel His arms wrapped around you, holding you, blessing you? How would you love to just walk in every day just knowing, man, God's with me. I'm walking in the Spirit. I can listen to Him. I'm doing the right thing in my life. I have His blessing on my life. Don't you want that in your life? Amen. Isn't it great to have that in your own life personally? Daniel was the kind of man who had extreme encounters with God. And we've seen over the last several weeks our message series, Extreme Events from the Book of Daniel. And we've seen unusual things. We've seen right off the get-go, Daniel and the three boys, they had some intolerance, didn't they? I mean, some things are just what? Black and white. And they took a stand because this was the law of God and the Word of God. And they, you know, Daniel didn't want to eat the meat that was defiled, and he just didn't want to have anything to do with that. So he said, let's not eat that meat. We don't want to do that. Just feed us pulse, vegetables. And so he said, see if God won't bless us. And God did. And then the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we saw that an image was made. And they said, no, sir, sorry. We don't have to think about it. We're not bowing before that image because we serve the living God, Jehovah God. We're not bowing down. It ain't happening. Okay? Sir. Okay? And so they didn't. So they were intolerant. Sometimes in our world, if we're intolerant over anything, we're labeled as, ooh, you're a religious freak or something. Let me tell you something, friend. Some things are just black and white. And it's going to take some extreme intolerance on your part at times to do the right thing. And Daniel was that kind of guy. Then the next week we saw Nebuchadnezzar and extreme ego. He was full of himself and God took him down. Turned him into a near wild animal. God lost his mind for 7 years, almost lost his entire kingdom. But finally, he repented at the end, and God blessed him and got his kingdom back for a short period of time. Remember? So we learned to let go of our what? Ego! Let go of that waffle thing, all right? Let go of our ego, our ego. Let it go, baby. Let it go. And so we're growing and learning, and we're getting to a place today, the third week. The writing on the wall. Remember that message? Crazy message. My goodness. This guy, he didn't relinquish his rights. He was king. Belshazzar. He could do what he wanted. And he mocked God the finger. He basically gave God the finger and God gave the finger back, but not the way he did it. Alright? He wrote it on the wall. And he said, judgment's coming. And judgment came that very night. And he lost his kingdom, an impenetrable fortress. It should have been no way that could have happened. And history verifies it happened just like the Bible said. Phenomenal. Unbelievable. Relinquishing rights. We need to learn to do that. To let go of our rights. Just because we have the power to do something doesn't mean we should. Amen? So, last week, we saw what do you do when things get shaky. Amen? And Daniel, what did he do? When he said that he could only pray to this one king for 30 days, the decree was made. Daniel said, it ain't happening. He went back, and what did he do? He prayed. Did he do it in secret? No. Or did he do it publicly? No. Dead in his room, but he opened up them windows publicly, didn't he? And we've learned when things get shaky, pray. Be public with your faith. And then when he got out of the lion's den, did he take the credit and say, look at me, I'm a bad dude? Did he say that? No. He praised the Lord. He said, God did this. So he praised the Lord. That's what we should do when things get shaky. And then finally, he preserved his integrity. He did the right thing, and then he prospered. And so today, we're coming to this message, extreme encounter. Probably as I look back, now all of them are sort of hooking together. If you want to have an extreme encounter with God, if you want to have a close relationship with God, some of the things we've said over the previous weeks is really going to help you get there, okay? But let's go now to the message, taking worship to a higher level. We're going to be in Daniel 9. Now, Daniel 7 through 12, it's a lot of prophecy, okay? And I've taught the book of Daniel verse by verse, and we've done the prophetic studies. That's not what this series is about. So I'm not going to get into the prophetic element really at all. But to say this, Daniel had many dreams. Daniel had many visions from God. Okay? Daniel had encounters with angels. The Lord spoke to Daniel. It was Daniel who was called greatly beloved. We'll see that this morning. John the Beloved in the New Testament was called the Beloved Disciple. In the Old Testament, it was Daniel. Daniel's one of two men in the Old Testament that not one bad thing was said about him. Remember on last time, These that were jealous of him, the other presidents that were jealous, they tried to find something bad against him. They couldn't, could they? So they had to attack his what? Faith. Remember? He was a great man, Daniel was. He loved the Lord. And he had extreme encounters with God. And he was on talking terms with God. And I guess that's where the message is headed today. That's what I want in my life. That's what I want in my life. I want God to be able to speak to me. And I didn't know exactly how to start the message. I was talking to Miss King back here the other day about the message. And I didn't know exactly how to start it. I want to tell you something. There have been many times in the nighttime. Now, you might think I'm a kook when you leave here today. You might think it right now. Who knows? But been many times in my bed when I've laid at night that the Lord's prompted me in the middle of the night. I can tell you many of the messages I preached here at Fellowship Church, the Lord prompted me in the middle of the night. I got up out of my bed and laid in that little hallway. You know, it's been in my house before, upstairs, the bedroom, there's a little hallway that goes to that bathroom. I get in that little hallway and I lay down there and I start writing with that pen, and it's like, man, I'm a dead asleep. I almost wake up and boy, the message. Sometimes it just flows like that. I can't take the credit, but hey, are you crazy? I'm a rock man walking down the aisle. Can't do that. The Lord speaks, and He does. He speaks to me. I believe that. And I'm going to say something else that might spook some of you out. You know, Daniel had dreams. And when I go to sleep at night, one of the last things I try to do is think on Scripture. Or when I wake up in the middle of the night, if I'm having a restless night, I try, that thing I try, I do it. I quote Scripture. That's why I like memorizing Scripture, so I can have it if I need it in the dark, all right? So I've got it up here. So I quote Scripture. Many times when I quote Scripture like that, before bed or during the middle of the night, I might have a dream, unusual dream. And I think the Lord speaks to us like that when we're laying and when we're asleep in our spirit. Now, I can't explain it all. I don't think we want to make doctrine out of it. Amen. We've got the Bible. That's what we need to believe, not dreams, okay? But the fact is, God spoke to people in dreams. He spoke to Daniel in dreams and things like that. And just to all of a sudden say, well, dreams don't happen anymore, that's just not going to cut it, friend. God does speak to us in our spirit. Don't you think so? And that's what I want. If anything, I want more of that. You know what I mean? I want to know it more so that when He speaks, I can hear Him. And I can hear that still small voice. But you got to do something, I think. And we can learn from Daniel today what we might can do to have that extreme encounter with the Lord. So now let's go there for the message today from Daniel chapter 9. Unbelievable prayer this man prayed. And that's what we're going to learn from. What did Daniel do? What did Daniel do? And we're going to see what he did. Chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king of the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, Daniel understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. I said something earlier, didn't connect the dots. John was called the beloved in the New Testament. It was to John who was given the book of Revelation, the greatest book on prophecy in the New Testament. Who was it in the Old Testament that was called beloved? Daniel. You'll see it a little bit. Who gave more end time prophecy in the Old Testament than anybody else? Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verses 12, 24 on through the end of chapter 9. You're going to read it sometime. You're going to study it carefully. Okay? It's a beautiful thing. If you actually look at the timeline, don't do it now. Do it later if you can. If you look at the years, he talks about 70 weeks, and those are actually 70 sevens. Okay? It's speaking of years. It's 490 years. If you do the math and you look at it carefully and you read it, he talks about a first part of those years being accomplished, which comes up to be about 434 years. You figure it out sometime. We'll do a message on it. It's very interesting. But Daniel actually, through this vision that he had to this angel, actually dated the exact date when Jesus Christ marched into Jerusalem to give himself as a sacrifice, AD 32. I know that's weird, but that's what the book of Daniel says. And then there's another 7-year period that's talked about after that, and that's the tribulation period, when Jesus Christ comes back again. There's going to be a tribulation period on this earth before Jesus sets up His throne. That's prophecy, and I know that's hard to understand sometimes, but the Bible is full of prophecy. For example, this prophecy, a virgin shall conceive.
You know what I mean?
There was prophesied that Jesus would be born. So many prophecies in the Bible has come true. That is one of them of end times. It happens at the end of this chapter. But what happens at the beginning before he gets all these prophecies? Here it is. He said in verse 2, I understand by the books. Back that up, Rod, that verse. See it right there in the first year of his reign? I, Daniel, did what? Understood by the books. If I am going to have, now let's move forward. If I am going to have an extreme encounter with God, this is very important. You understand. Where's my Bible? Here it is. I put the Bible on the screen so we can all read it. If I'm going to have an extreme encounter with God, I understand by this book. Did you hear me? Say it with me. I understand by this book. That's what Daniel did. Daniel had extreme encounters with God, but he understood by this book. As we go back to that verse, look at it one more time, Rod. That verse says he understood the number of the years because he was in the books. He was taken exile. He was taken captive from Jerusalem almost 70 years prior. And he didn't have the Bible like we had, friend. They didn't say, now get out of your books and y'all come on. You know, they took them. They destroyed the people. They took some of the smart ones with them over to Babylon. He was one of them. So he probably had parchments and pieces of Old Testament Old Testament books. And he had one of Jeremiah. And he would pore over that word. He would read that word. And that's how he started on his journey, I believe, to a close encounter with God. If you think you're going to have an encounter with God without getting this book, it ain't happening, friend. Are you hearing me this morning? Some people came by the booth on yesterday and asked questions about the church, and one brother was telling me, he talked to them at the expo, and they said, well, what do you believe? And they said, well, at Fellowship Church, we believe the Bible. We teach the Bible. And they said, well, you know, you can have different interpretations. You do that, that, or the other. And let me tell you, friend, you can make excuses till the cows come home. Why you don't read this book. But you're never going to have an encounter with God on a regular basis unless you're in this book on a daily basis. You need to be in this book. This didn't happen. This encounter that Daniel had, we'll see it in a little bit, it didn't happen until he was reading the book. We get our understanding from this book, not from eating too much pizza, okay? And it's funny, I don't mean to be ugly, but I'm going to say it anyway. I've had lots of people come up to me with spooky stories. Little stories. But in most cases, when they came to me with these stories, they know jack squat about this book. But they sure got stories they can tell of experiences they've had. Do you know this book or not? Do you believe it? Do you read it? Friend, I'm talking to maybe just a few here today who will take Clark up on the challenge to have an extreme encounter with God. That's what I want in my life. I want God to speak to me, and He speaks to me through this book. This is a blessed book. You understand what I'm saying? So that's how he got it. He understood by this book. Let's keep moving. What was he probably reading? This is one of the parchments he was probably reading. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, he will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about. I will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of millstones, the light of the candle. This whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment. These nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you. I will perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Daniel was reading the book. I might have lost you. Hang in here. I think we might make it though. And I'm worried about most of us. Here we go. He was reading the book. And he came across this part that Babylon was supposed to be taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. That was prophesied a long time before it ever happened. And he's reading this. And he comes across it and says, and it'll end in 70 years. And how old is Daniel now? He's about 85. And all of a sudden he goes, holy smokes! This captivity's almost over. You'd be surprised what you'll get when you start reading this book, my friend. You might find new some surprises in here and special promises that God's made for you. And Daniel was understanding and reading these books. And all of a sudden he thought, wow, I'm 85. I came here when I was about 15 or 16 years old. Man, it's time for us to go back home to Jerusalem. He was so excited. So anyway, he starts reading this book. So if we're going to have a close encounter with God and have an encounter with Him on a regular basis, it's going to come from us understanding this book. Now let's keep moving. Number two. What else did Daniel do? Verse 3. I set my face unto the Lord God. Can you say that with me? I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer, supplications, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. What did Daniel do this time? He said, I set my face to the Lord. If you want to have an encounter with God on a regular basis, if you want Him to touch your life, if you want Him to speak to you, if you want to have that walk with Him, you get your understanding from where? This book. Help me here, people. I'm dying on stage.
Yeah.
Listen, you get your understanding from this book. This book. The second thing that Daniel did that you and I need to do, I need to set my face to the Lord. I need to set my face to the Lord. God's not just generally going to show up in your life if you're not searching for Him and looking and you want Him and you have a passion. He prayed. The verse says, I prayed. I had supplication. That means I pleaded. I fasted. What does that mean? That means I put things I enjoyed and pleasures down and I put my focus on God. Sackcloth and ashes. What does that mean? In the old days, here's what they would do. They would take old black ash and they'd put it in a circle, in a pile. And this is what Daniel did. He sat down in this pile of ashes. And he took on, and he was had on black. This is the Jewish custom. And then he'd take these ashes and he'd pour it and put it all over his face and all over his head. And I mean, I know that looks like a fanatic and he looked like a nut. But you know what? It reminded him of how black he was and dirty he was and sinful he was. And that's how he prayed. He realized how small he was. I'm nothing but dust. And so that's how Daniel had his encounter with God. Do you see why most of us miss the encounter, sir? Because we don't use this book. And most of us don't have the passion to set our face to the Lord. It takes prayer, supplication, fasting, sackcloth and ashes. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. If we're going to have this encounter, it's going to take effort, friend. It's going to take understanding by this book and setting our face to the Lord. Next, the third thing. We're just walking through Daniel 9, if you have your Bible and following along. And I prayed unto the Lord my God. I made what? My confession. And said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. What did he do? He said, I pray. If you're going to have an encounter with God, and you're going to walk and talk with Him, you're going to understand by this book, you've got to set your face toward Him, and then you've got to pray. Daniel said, I pray. I pray. Let's keep moving, Raj. He said, my confession. Daniel, not one word was said ill about this man in the whole Bible. Was Daniel perfect? Yes or no? None. But if you looked at him from the outside, you thought he was. He was that godly of a guy. But you know what? When Daniel started reading this book, when Daniel saw that prophecy and he saw what had happened and that the time was short now, they might be going back to Jerusalem. Man, he set his face toward God. He got serious. He prayed and he put those ashes all over him. And he started praying this prayer. And he said, my confession. What is confession? Here's what it is. I admit my guilt. Can you say that with me? I admit my guilt. That's what confession is. I verbalize to God my shortcomings. Daniel started doing that. He was a good guy. Being good won't be good enough, friend, for God. If you think you're good, I'm a good guy, God's never going to show up at your house. He ain't going to stir you. If you're full of pride and think you're good and you got it made, Daniel came to God and he started praying. He said, oh man, look at me. Look at me compared to you. I'm nothing. And then the Lord started showing him things in his life. And he started confessing. He verbalized his shortcomings. And also, when we confess, we're to say it with an attitude of not doing it again. You hear me? If we sin, and we do, when we confess that and we're broken before the Lord, we ought to say it with an attitude, I don't want to do this anymore. And I turn from that, and I try to live for you, Lord. So, my confession was part of his prayer. Next. Just wanted to say this. Why is a church steeple shaped like this? Does anybody know? Do what? It's pointed up. But what's that got to do with the bottom being wide and the top being skinny? Well, I really don't know either, but somebody told me this. And that is this. What?
The closer you get to God.
The smaller you realize you are. That's it. That's it. A church steeple's wide at the bottom, and as it goes up higher, it gets smaller. And that's the idea. The closer you and I get to God, the smaller we realize we are. And that's what Daniel realized. Did you get that or not? Church steeples are shaped like that. They go wide at the top, and as they get taller, they're pointing towards God, but as they get taller, they're smaller. And that's the way you and I, as we start to get closer to the Lord, we don't realize how great we are. We realize how much of a dirty dog we are compared to Him. Amen? And that's when God starts to bless. Pride has no part in it. So he confessed. Let's see the next thing. He said, "Oh Lord, the great and dreadful God." Some of us can't even talk about God like that. To us, God is just a God of love. God is available. He's just waiting to wait on me. Listen, you know who God is according to a guy that knew Him? Daniel. Here's what Daniel said. He said, "Our God is a great and dreadful God." That's who God is. God is a God of judgment. God is a God that when we have sin in our life, He does love us. Jesus died for us. But God does not tolerate that. God doesn't wink at that and go, "That's okay, that's cool because you was in church on Sunday." He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He's a great and dreadful God. He wants you to get right with Him. That's who He is. And He's not going to have much to do with us if we tolerate sin in our life. We're talking, and not about going to heaven, friend. We're talking about getting closer to the Lord. Have I lost some of you? I'm afraid I did with this message. Some of them, I'm just scared I did. It's my fault. I'm trying to connect the dots, but this is a tough thing. Getting close to God. Daniel did it. Let's look at something else about prayer. He said, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in the name of our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land." What was part of Daniel's prayer? Confession. What was part of Daniel's prayer? "You are great and dreadful God." What was part of Daniel's prayer? Say that with me, would you? "We not..." Look at what he said. "We have sinned." Look at it. "We've committed iniquity." Keep going. "We have done wickedly. We have rebelled. We have departed from your word. We have not listened to your servants." Daniel's a pretty good guy, wasn't he? Say. But because of the people's sin, the sin of Israel, they were taken captive and God judged them. But did Daniel point the finger at them as if they didn't? Say. Friend, I am convinced that in our prayer life, and if we're ever going to have a closer walk with God, we cannot have pride and we can't be finger pointing. Here's what it should be. Look at it. We, not they. Can you say that with me? We, not they. One more time. Come on, wake up. We, not they. Fellowship Church, my goal, my desire is that when somebody walks in those back doors with heavy hearts and with sin in their life, I'd love to have the kind of church when they walk in, it's we, not they. It's we, not they. Who in here has not sinned? Who in here has not fell off the wagon sometime? Friend, let's be that kind of church. When somebody comes here and they're broken, their life is a wreck, instead of looking at them, "Look what she got on." Listen, if you're going to talk like that, why don't you leave?
Amen.
I'd rather have folk that could come in here, and I don't need to be ugly, but I know I am. Listen, we, not they. When you sin, and when you struggle, it's my struggle. When you're hurting, I'm hurting. When you've screwed up, I feel like I've screwed up with you. That might sound strange, but I would rather be on that side of the line than the other side of the line, the pointing finger line. I'd rather be, "I want to help you and embrace you and even walk through that with you," than to leave you just out there and say, "Oh, you're pathetic." I want that kind of church. Amen? And I know that's the way you feel as well. Praise God. We. Not day. So he prayed that way. So far, how do we get a close encounter with God? According to Daniel. Number one, we get our understanding from the book. Not off TV. From the book. Amen? Number two, we must what? Set our face to the Lord. There's got to be passion. We've got to want this. We can never have that close walk that tremendous encounter with God unless we on purpose set our face toward Him. Number three, we must what? Pray. How do we pray? Full of pride? No. We confess. We realize He's a great, dreadful God, and He's we, not they. Okay? Number four, how can I have this close encounter with God? Number seven, verse seven. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all of Israel that are near, and that are far off, through all the countries whither Thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against Thee. O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. What's number four? Here it is. I acknowledge God's righteousness, and I admit my confusion. Can you say that with me? I acknowledge God's righteousness, and I admit my
confusion.
That's what Daniel did. Daniel had his act together. He was a great guy, but you know what Daniel did? When he started reading that book, he set his face to it. He started praying. He says, you know, I'm confused. My way is not the right way. I can't trust myself. My path is not the right path. I acknowledge Your righteousness. I don't acknowledge my own smarts and my own doing, what I can do and figuring out how I can get close to You. Listen, I acknowledge Your righteousness, Your holiness, and I admit my confusion. Let's keep moving, right? He says God is righteous. We're confused. He says that in that verse. Verse 9, he says something else. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness, though we have what? Rebelled against Him. He says this, God is merciful and we are what? Rebellious. This is the way he talked to God. He leaned totally on God's righteousness and God's holiness. That's why he had this encounter, this relationship with God. He looked up, friend. He looked higher than most of us look. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. He says this, we have not obeyed what? Your voice. We've not obeyed Your laws. We've not obeyed Your servants. We're just totally confused, and I'm confused. And I want to have a relationship with You. You're holy. You're righteous. I'm going to put my total trust in You, Father. And then he says this, 11 through 15, as you're reading along with me in the Scriptures. In all Scripture, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, the oath that's written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we've sinned against Him. And He's confirmed His words which He spoke against us, and against our judges and judges, by bringing us upon a great evil. For into the whole heaven hath not been done as He hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand Thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil. He has brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all His works which He does. For we obey not His voice. And now, O Lord our God, Thou hast brought Thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten Thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Finally, watch what we got coming. He said this, and I still think I might be losing it, but I'm going to try. He said, I accept Your righteousness. And when we accept God's righteousness and that He is right and we're confused, David said, I accept Your judgment. I accept Your judgment. I accept Your judgment. I can't tell you the number of people that have fallen off the wagon and got away from serving God because something bad happened in their life. Friend, if you're going to just quit on God when something bad happens to you, am I going to quit on God this week because a grill blew up my wife's face? Say, no! You know what I'm going to do? I fell on my face right away and said, thank God she can see. Hallelujah. Amen. Eyes are good. Amen. That's not because of me. Clark, my immediate reaction was to grab the grill and throw the sucker in the backyard off the second floor. I was that close to doing it. But then the knowledge stuck that got in my head and said, well, this might be a homeowner's thing, so I can't damage the grill. Terrible, ain't it? Isn't that awful? But hallelujah, thank God I'm connected. God's got His hand on me. He's talking to me to help me with my crazy head. Listen, we don't quit on God when bad things happen. And especially when we're judged, when we've done wrong and sin in our life, it happens. Daniel said, we have done it. We have done it. I'm talking about getting close to God. How do you do it? Let's look at the fifth thing. This is Daniel's way. Verse 16, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let your anger and your fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all that are about us. Here's the last thing that he said. These are the 5 points this morning. He said, I desire God's will to be done. I desire God's will to be done. How do you get close to God? He said, I desire God's will to be done. He said, according to your righteousness. Let's keep moving, Ron. Listen. When we pray, friend, and when we accept God's will, try to find God's will, we don't pray to change God's will. How many have ever prayed to try to change God's will? Don't lie. Some of you have done it. I've done it. Why in the world are we going to try to change God's will when He's righteous and holy and He's perfect? Amen? Listen, we don't pray to change God's will. His will is perfect. We pray for His will to be done. What did Jesus say? Say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hear it? We pray for His will to be done. Keep moving. Our will is flawed. Our will is flawed. I know I'm talking crazy this morning, but Clark's messed up, man. Daniel said, I have confusion. And Daniel could say he was confused. Clark could say he's confused, okay? We're flawed, man. I need God's will in my life. We pray and we seek His face because ours is confused. That's why we pray. We want His will. And then somebody said this, and I like it. Find out what God's doing and get in on it. Can you say that? Find out what God is doing and get in on it. You know what? At Fellowship, I really feel like the good things are happening. I feel like folks are learning. I feel like we're reaching people for the Lord. You know what? And instead of criticizing, for crying out loud, won't you find out God's doing something, just get in on it. Amen? And maybe that's a new situation in your life. When something you can feel God's presence, won't you? Okay, you just get in on it. Amen? Instead of trying to change it all, you're going to micromanage, you're going to fix it all. As far as I'm concerned, you're confused, I'm confused, you're flawed, I'm flawed. I want the Holy Spirit, the living God, to pour out on us. And I think we might just make it. Amen? He wanted God's will to be done. Then he says some other things. He says, let your anger be turned away. We're going to fly right here, Raj. And then he says this, now therefore our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, in supplications, cause your face to shine upon the sanctuary that's desolate for the Lord's sake. He said this, cause your face to shine on us. Keep moving. Another verse. He says, incline your ear. He says, hear. And he says, open your eyes. He said this. He said, incline your ear to me, Father. He says, listen, open your eyes to our trouble, God. Woo, something good. Do you feel like something good about happening? Something good about happening. He's been doing right. Daniel said, I ask not because of my righteousness, but because of your mercy. That'll preach. If you want to have an encounter with God, you've got to let go of pride. You've got to let go, well, I did this up north and I have this many buttons and I've done all that. Listen, friend, listen to me, listen. You want God to come in your life and you to have a walk with Him that you've never had before? Listen, you ask not because of your righteousness, you ask because of His mercy. Amen? You know, here's another good old country statement I've heard. If you want God to bless you, brag on Jesus. That's it right there. When you pray, you tell God how wonderful His Son is. You start talking about how great Jesus is. If you want God to bless you, brag on Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. We don't pray because of our righteousness. We pray because of His mercy. And then finally, Daniel 9:19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. See, he read in that book that this thing was about to come to an end. I don't know if you've been following with me. But he got excited and he started praying. And he wanted to be closer to the Lord than he ever got before. And then this is the prayer he prayed. I like this prayer. Would you pray it with me right quick? O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, do. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Clark, I don't know how to pray. Why don't you write that down right there and take it home? Oh, Lord, hear me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, do something in my life. I think that's a good prayer right there now. And that's what Daniel prayed. What was Daniel doing? And here's the end right quick. Woo! 9:20. He said, whilst, I like that's a southern word. Whilst. See that right there. That's it. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, and present my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Watch it, something's about to happen. What was he doing? He was speaking. He was praying. He was confessing. He was pleading with God. Keep moving on. And look at what happened. Yet, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, he touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Do you want the touch of God on your life? I tell you what, if this message isn't for anybody else but old Clark, I appreciate you being here and just watching it, all right? Listen, I want God to touch my life. For 17, 18 years I was in the ministry. I don't know many times that I pled for the Lord, oh Lord, touch my life. That's where I'm at now. That's the way my life is going right now these days. I want God's touch on my life. And I hope you want that for you. Listen, so the angel touched him, verse 22. And he informed me, and he talked with me, and he said, oh Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And this verse, watch it. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. Did you get that? When Daniel got down, when Daniel read that book, when Daniel set his face, when Daniel started to pray, the commandment came forth. Gabriel said, I got my marching orders. When you started praying, something started happening, baby. And I've come to show thee, for look at this, can you say that with me? For thou art greatly
beloved.
Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, our message is over, and even though it doesn't seem like it should be, it's winding up. Daniel had what? An extreme encounter. He had an extreme encounter with God. He took worship to a higher level. Did you feel it this morning a little bit in the story? Daniel took worship. Woo, he was up there soaring with angels, wasn't he? Do you want that in your life? I want that in my life. I really do. I asked the Lord for this in my life. Also, in Daniel 10:11. The angel said unto him, another chapter on Daniel, man, greatly beloved. Next slide. Just going to show up that Daniel was greatly beloved of God. And you can be greatly beloved. Listen, friend, God loves all of us. That's why Jesus came. I remember my wife years ago, she told me something funny. She said, Gary, I'm jealous of Daniel. She said, I'm jealous of Daniel. I said, what's wrong with you, woman? Jealous of Daniel. She said, it seems God has favorites. And you know the truth of the matter is, friend, God does have favorites. Oh, it can't be favorite. That's not right. Okay, you go ahead and judge God then. I'm not going to do it. God has favorites. And here's how you become favorite of God. You do what we talked about this morning, my friend. I mean, I want you to love me and I love you. But guess what? I want Him to really love me. And be proud of me. Because I seek Him and I serve Him. I don't do a good job sometimes, but that's what I want my life. How can I take my worship to a higher level? Write it down if you don't have it, but I'll make us a preach all day long. Here we go. Say it with me. How can I take my worship to a higher level? Here it is. I understand by His
book.
That's it. Number two, I set my face before the
Lord.
Number three, I
pray.
Number four, I acknowledge that God is righteous and I admit my confusion. And number five, I desire God's will to be done. Remember what I said? Find out what God's doing and get in on it. Amen? Daniel got in on it and God blessed him. And right after this happened, he prophesied about when Jesus would come, Messiah would come, end time events. He talked about the tribulation period. He got himself in a sweet spot so God could speak to him. That's where I want to be in my life. Okay, thank you for listening today. I hope that you've been encouraged. Lord knows we tried. Okay?